At least at my job, we are constantly being graded on how we're doing. We have a scorecard that my manager likes to look at every 3 hours to make sure it's still going up. And while we're great on four different things at the airport, whether we get the airplane out on time, how many bags were misplaced or didn't arrive with the passenger. And then we're graded on surveys that the passengers turn back in on how their airport experience was and how, if something went horribly wrong, how great we were at making it better. So scoring can be somewhat challenging, to say the least. But we're constantly being graded, and as I said, my manager does like every... Whether he's at work or not, he knows what the scorecard said. 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, and 9 again. Just make sure it updated and went up that percentile point. But we have goals that are set for us. Now at home, we've also have our own goals. You know, we've all been taught, whether you listened when the adult first told you or whether you found out the hard way, that you have to budget your own money. And you need to put something aside because something will go wrong and usually does. You know, we all have plans for this. We have plans for our retirement. You know, most of us have our 401k deducted straight out of our paycheck. That way we don't have to think about it. It's automatically done. We're not tempted by that money. And that's not something... Being a long-term goal like that, I don't check my 401k very often. Maybe at the end of the year I see on my W-2, oh, wow, I contributed this much and made the company contribute this much more for it. But that's about the only time that I look at that long-term goal. Because I hope it'll be at least a longer time before I get there. But on a spiritual level, you really can't put a numbers to it. You can't put a long-term goal in effect. I mean, we all have the same goal. What's our goal? We want to live eternally with God in heaven. Plain and simple. End of the game. That's the only goal. So since we can't look at long-term, we have to look at it in a more short-term to make sure we're still growing. I have a quote from a British historian, Thomas Carlyle said, "Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw into your work such strength of mind and muscle as God has given you." So everything we have, we need to apply towards our goal. But we have to acknowledge where that came from. It came from God. I'd like to read Hebrews 12, the first three verses. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." I like that there in verse 2, our faith begins and ends with Jesus. It was through him that the path was made. But I got to thinking, what tends to hold us back along this route? And all of us have some baggage attached to us. A lot of it that I have a problem with is I have a problem letting go of past mistakes. Brittany and I were watching the 60 Minutes program before we came in about kids who could remember, okay, March 2nd of 2012 was this day on the calendar. And they asked him what the worst thing was about, and he said, and the kid said, well, it's because I remember exactly what I did bad. He remembers exactly the bad days. He doesn't move on from them like most people do. Although I don't have that memory. But we each tend to hold on to what we've done wrong, kind of remind you that you're not perfect. Well, I did this. How can I move on? But in that first verse, it says to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Jesus already paid for our sins. He carried them to the cross. Why do we insist on carrying them with us further than that? We can't take them any further. He already carried them the whole way. So we need to lay them down. We all understand that we will continue to sin. Sin will happen. But that's hopefully an occasional sin. It's the habitual sin that is the hard one to get rid of. Because it is a habit in your life. But we have to keep it short term. As I said, my boss checks the score so quickly. Well, that's how all we can do is just live it one day at a time and take care of that day. As the kids' movie so well says it, you just keep swimming. But with the habitual sin, at least in my life, each time we deny that temptation, it becomes a little easier to deny it again. Yeah, occasionally you'll fall to it, because none of us are perfect. But every time you say no, it just makes it that much easier. You realize how much you don't need it. So I've got three quick ways on how we deal with the problem and things that have helped me. Matthew 6:33, most of us can quote anyway, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You have to be careful where you're seeking. If I'm seeking at a junkyard, odds are I'm going to find junk. So you have to stay away from where you know your sin's going to be. Second one, you don't try to do it alone. We have to be there for each other. I know, at least in my own personal experience, I've made the most steps with somebody there with me, sharing the burden, whether with Brittany, obviously, but I've had a member share with me that he had the same problem that I have. And you know what? Even though he and I have never talked about that problem, that just made it that much easier. Because you know what? That problem is not all powerful now. Now it's something that's beatable. It's been, somebody else is handling this. Now I can handle this. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we're supposed to be there for each other, ready and willing to either go to others with our problem or to be there for somebody when they come to you with their problem. And the number one way that, at least the one that I struggle with the most, is we need to pray for our pray to God. Once it gets to the top of my head, I think I'm done. That's the farthest I can go. Well, that's right. That's the farthest I can go. But God doesn't have that stopping point that I have. Philippians 4. I'm actually going to turn there for a couple verses. Starting in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we take everything to God. And it's that peace of God that really helps. Because once you take the time when you're in the spot of temptation to kind of calm yourself down and back away from the situation, it becomes that much easier to handle. So we all have these temptations we're dealing with. And I know I haven't brought anything that I haven't said before, mainly because I'm the one that needs the work more than anyone else. But once again, just to sum up, watch where you're seeking. Make sure you are seeking Jesus first and His righteousness. And take advantage of the people you have with you. We have examples in the Bible, but sometimes they seem so far off compared to somebody you can call up and talk to. And last of all, include God in the solution. He says all things are possible through Him. So we just have to make sure that we include Him and let Him get us through the temptation. Thank you.